2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good evening. It's 5:30 at KSL. Jeff Kaplan here. Partly cloudy, 88 degrees, KSL's top story. Some movement today on the baby formula shortage. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz reports.
The FDA and Abbott have reached an agreement to reopen the country's largest formula production plant. It was shut down in February after contamination issues. The FDA says Abbott has resolved those, and they might be able to make baby formula in the next 2 weeks. Abbott said in a statement it will take another 6 to 8 weeks before formula can make its way onto shelves. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
So we're not through with this yet. Senator Mike Lee is finalizing a proposal he says would ease the baby formula shortage. KSL News Radio's Britt Johnson has more.
It's called the Fixing Our Regulatory Mayhem Upsetting Little Americans Act, a.k.a. the Formula Act, designed to remove federal limitations on formula imports. Senator Lee feels this is a real solution for American families, and he's getting ready to present it to Congress this afternoon.
It's hard for me to imagine why anyone would be opposed to this, because these are safe measures that we could undertake to help us address the problem in real time.
The act would also allow WIC families to use any kind of available formula, not just specific brands.
The question is whether Congress will vote in favor of Senator Lee's proposal that would relax federal formula rules. 10 people are dead after this grocery shooting over the weekend in Buffalo, New York. Police say the gunman gave them a roadmap of his attack in the form of a 180-page manifesto. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more from Buffalo.
He laid out the specific timeline of the attack down to how he was going to get past the security guard, what he was going to wear, what he was going to do, how he was going to live stream at least part of it as it was unfolding. It was there for anyone to see on social media, but we're not sure how many people actually saw it.
Should police be able to prevent a gunman from carrying out a shooting like the one in Buffalo, especially in light of a threat he made during high school? Former U.S. Attorney for Utah John Huber tells David Dujanovic, it's not that simple.
We place a lot of restrictions on our police, probably for good cause and good reason, but the trade-off is that you cannot predict with certainty when something outrageous and horrific is going to happen, like did in Buffalo.
Huber says investigators can't be the thought police and generally won't respond to someone's writing unless it meets certain criteria, such as a specific plan of action. As America digested the shooting in Buffalo, there was another attack at a Southern California church. This one ended differently. An elderly gunman opened fire at a Presbyterian church. The pastor threw a chair. Congregants hogtied the gunman. One person was killed, five were injured, but the 68-year-old suspect, David Chow from Las Vegas, is now under arrest facing a murder charge. The Pentagon says American howitzers are changing the battlefield in Ukraine.
74 of the 90 artillery systems coming from the U.S. are now being used by Ukrainian troops on the front lines, according to a senior defense official. Ukraine's military has used the new firepower to slow the Russian advance in the Donbas and to repel Russian forces from Kharkiv, pushing them nearly all the way back to the Russian border. Russia is firing back with its own artillery and airstrikes and still has the majority of its combat power intact, the senior official said. U.S. intelligence officials have warned that despite setbacks on the battlefield, Russian President Vladimir Putin likely still aims to extend his invasion beyond eastern Ukraine, But so far, his ground forces in the Donbass have made little progress. Matt Seiler, ABC News, the Pentagon.
And thumbing their nose at Vladimir Putin, NATO forces are now conducting battlefield exercises in Estonia, just a stone's throw from the Russian border. KSL News Time 534, that gigantic Calf Canyon fire is now the largest in New Mexico history. It makes no sense to talk about the acreage. This fire has blackened 465 miles of mountain range. 260 homes have burned. The evacuations continued over this past weekend. The wind has been blowing at 20 miles an hour, sending fresh flames jumping through stands of pine and fir. Firefighters from Draper are now among those battling for control in New Mexico. As we grapple with this unending drought, the Utah Division of Water Resources has begun issuing a weekly lawn watering guide. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly has more.
The guide will be posted each Friday on the division's website. It will state how many days each week people should add water to their lawns in each county across the state based on the weather. Officials say Utah is one of the driest states in the country, so it's important to use water efficiently.
The division says these are general recommendations, so you need to check further restrictions in your town. KSL News Time 535 and developing news. A 13-year-old was killed after getting trapped under the sand at Coral Pink Sand Dunes State Park in Kane County this weekend. Park rangers think Ian Spendlove had been digging a tunnel in the dunes when it collapsed with him inside. The county sheriff's office came to assist getting him out. They were able to get him out about 20 minutes later from 6.5 feet beneath the sand. Spendlove still had a post, but he never regained consciousness and was declared dead at Primary Children's Hospital.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.